So last week, we had talked about the significance of Ohm. I'll just summarize this chart. I think all of you were there last week. But Ohm is the Shabda Brahma or the sound symbol. Just as the flag represents the nation, Ohm, the sound, represents Brahman, represents the total consciousness, God. And what are the benefits of chanting? In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, it says, one who chants Om at the time of death reaches me, Shri Krishna says. Death not only means the death of the body, but as you are chanting, your ego can be destroyed. So there can be a death of the ego where the individual, once the ego disappears, then he merges with that infinite truth. So Om helps us in reducing the ego and becoming one with the Lord. So that was in Gita chapter 8. And then we have studied that A-U-M, Om, is broken. When we chant it, Om, we extend it. And then we have the silence called the Turiya state. So this represents the, A represents the waking, U the dream, M the deep sleep, and then the silence is Turiya. In that silence, you merge with that inner silence, and then you realize that Om is my essential nature. It's my true nature. Just as silence is there in the entire chanting, like if I'm chanting Om, Om emerges from silence and merges back into silence. Silence is the support of the chant. So similarly, Om, the consciousness, is the support of all three states, the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep. I am conscious. The consciousness is there. And then ultimately, when in the deep meditation, when you go into that silence, you experience Om as your true nature. That is what I really am. This body is just an equipment. Then we studied the simile of the bow and arrow in the Mundak Upanishad. Very beautifully, it is said that the Om is the bow. And where does the bow come from? The Upanishads. So the Upanishads supply us this weapon called Om, and the arrow is me, that limited individuality, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, the limited individuality is the arrow, and that needs to be shot where? At Brahman, at the Lord. The target is that I have to reach. So when the archer pulls, he has to make sure, first of all, the arrow is sharp. If the arrow is blunt, then it is useless. So the arrow is sharpened by meditation. That's what they say. And when you pull the bow towards you, the string, what it signifies that the Brahman within is the same as the Brahman outside. The Lord within and the Lord outside are all Om, that one. That is within and without, inside and outside. And then that finger has to be steady. That hand holding the bow, arrow has to be steady. If it is shaking, then obviously the arrow will miss. So the person's mind in meditation has to be steady, and with that steady mind, when the arrow is released, it hits the target. And when the target is hit, say if it is an animal or a tree, if the arrow is sharp, it penetrates the target and becomes one with it. So the individual, when he gives up his ego and he uses Om as the weapon, he merges, becomes one, but he has to be sharpened. And he has to be single-pointed. Then we studied that Om is the Pratima and the Pratik. So the form and the formless. Pratima and the Pratik. And it is from the Kathopanishad. And it also is the Alambanam. It is the support using which I can, just as you, when you build a house, you need a foundation, you need a support. So in my house of spirituality, Om is the support. Om is the foundation on which I can progress spiritually. And then last of all, in the Kevalya Upanishad, they talked about the waking, dream, and deep sleep. And then talked about the Arani example, which we had talked about, where there are two vessels and there is a stick which is connected, and the priest rapidly churns that stick, and at the bottom the sparks come out, which when they are lit with the cotton or with some wooden materials, the Yajna Kund is lighted. We had studied that in detail last week. So similarly, the individual, when he's connected with Om, Om is the upper Arani, and I am the lower Arani. When I connect it with the stick of knowledge, and with that churning of knowledge, there is a spark of understanding. And in that spark, all my bondages are destroyed, all my ignorance is destroyed. So this is, in brief, the summary of Om. We do have the CDs if you would like to buy. I would encourage everybody to take it and listen, because there is a lot of symbolism in Om. I also have these CDs on sadhana. About 2 weeks ago, we had done a talk on sadhana where what I had tried to do was, from the various scriptures, try to get the essence of what a spiritual seeker should do. What is the importance of human birth? And then there are two kinds of sadhanas, bahirang sadhana and antarang. Bahirang means outwardly what should I do as a spiritual seeker, and antarang is internally how should I change my internal equipment to evolve. So the CDs are available if anybody is interested. As we had talked last time, I think people wanted to practice meditating on Om, so maybe we'll do that for about 20 minutes and then we can start the 14th chapter. Before we start meditation, some of you have been meditating on a regular basis. Others may be brand new. So I thought I'll just spend 5 minutes. This is an orientation I do for new students when they come to the Thursday class. We do about a half an hour orientation. But in about 5 minutes, I would just like to summarize. And then if you wish to know more, you can come on Thursday evening. So people ask, what is meditation? And people think meditation is yoga, meditation is, you know, for the yogis. But in two lines, if you want to describe what is meditation, we say meditation is quieten the mind and turn it inwards. So the mind, which is running into the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, we quieten the mind and turn it inward to Om, which is God's presence, as life, as consciousness. Why should we meditate? It says meditation helps the body reduce blood pressure, heart disease. At the mental level, it helps to reduce stress and helps us to handle stress, regular meditation. And at the intellect level, at the level of the brain, it has been shown that meditation improves memory, concentration, the ability to focus, and can even delay Alzheimer's. But the main benefit of meditation is spiritual. It brings me closer to God. Through meditation, I experience God's presence within, because we know God is in the temple or church or mosque. He's also there in plants, animals, and birds. But in me, as the consciousness. So that is the main benefit of meditation. When and where, we say pick a quiet time and a quiet place, a place where you won't be disturbed. And a quiet time, preferably early morning, is the best time, because it is the sattvic time when the sun is rising. But any quiet time where you won't be disturbed. And how we shall practice today, how to meditate. And then also, before we start, I find that this simple breathing exercise called Anulom Vilom, if you can do that, that helps the mind to quiet. And I have that in my handout also, so when you take it home, you can read it. So let us just, what you do is put your two right fingers of your right hand above your nose on the forehead, and then the thumb is closing the right nostril, and the ring finger controls the left nostril. So if you put your fingers here, and so what we'll do is we'll close the right nostril with the thumb and breathe deeply in and out through the left nostril. Slow, deep breaths. With full attention to the breathing. Now you close the left nostril and breathe deeply in and out through the right nostril. Now we alternate. We breathe in through the left and breathe out through the right. Now breathe in through the right and breathe out through the left. So keep alternating for 3 times. If you're done, you can bring your hands down. So this simple pranayam, you can do it on your own. Most of the difficult pranayams like Bhastrika and all, it is good to learn from a teacher, and I'm not a qualified pranayam teacher. So don't attempt those on your own. But this simple pranayam, I have a little handout. Everybody can practice. And what it does is it quietens the mind before meditation. So as we do in the beginning of the class, the way we will be chanting Om today, it will be 3 times loudly. Loudly means where your neighbor can hear it. Then 3 times we'll whisper, and then we will start chanting Om softly, just in the mind. And the idea is the chanting should be long and slow, with full attention to the sound. And then when the chanting ends, there is a silence between one Om and the second Om. And so pay attention to the silence. That is the important. The important is, the chanting is important, but the silence is more important. So let us practice that. So we'll just start with getting ready for the chanting. Eyes softly closed. Back is erect but not stiff. Consciously relax your body from head to toe. Pay attention to each part and completely relax. From head to toe, and then back from the toes to the head. Relax. Now take 3 slow, deep breaths. Now just observe the breath. Just breathe normally and watch the air as it moves in and out. Now we'll start chanting Om 3 times audibly, softly. Om. Pay attention to the silence. Now 3 times just whisper, just whisper so only you can hear it. Now keep on chanting Om mentally, paying attention to the silence. And ultimately, when your mind becomes quiet, you can drop the chanting and stay in the silence. Center on the self, the Lord's presence within. Om, which is my true nature, that is I am. If the mind wanders, go back to watching the breath and chanting Om until the mind becomes quiet. Let us stay in silence for about 10 minutes. Keep chanting Om mentally. Softly open your eyes. If you practice this at home every day, even 20 minutes in the morning, you will notice a major change in your life. Those of us who have been meditating regularly can vouch for that. Also, if you wish to know more about this, we have the Bhagavad Gita. If you can put up the green book, there's 18 volumes, 18 chapters. Chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita details. The entire chapter is devoted to meditation, so you can pick up the books from the office. And as I said, we have a class Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. Everybody is welcome, where we talk and then we on different books and then also meditate as a group. Anybody has any questions or comments about what we have discussed so far or anything related to meditation? Yes, it's like playing golf. You know, first time you hit the ball, it goes here, there, everywhere. So that's normal. But as you practice, slowly you can direct the ball where you want to go, and then eventually it will go in the direction. So similarly, the mind, which we have trained for 40, 50 years to run, and do so many things at one time, in the beginning it will take. That's why we systematically you go. You know, you close your eyes, you relax your body, you do some pranayama before, and watch your breath. And then as you chant, then your mind slowly will become quiet. And then again, it's used to running. It will go into the world. What am I going to do after meditation, or my family, or my work, or my, and all those things. And then slowly you tell the mind, you know, no, it's not the time to think about work. It's not the time to, I am right now with the Lord. It's my private time with God. Meditation I consider as my personal appointment with Him, as within me. So you bring your mind back, and then with practice, abhyasena, Arjuna says in the 6th chapter, to control the mind is more difficult. I can control the winds, that because he had that much power as a warrior. He said, I can control the winds that go, but I cannot control my mind. So Krishna says, asamshaya mahabaho manodur nigraham chalam, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha grihyate. It is no doubt the mind is difficult to control, but with abhyasa and vairagya, with practice and with detachment. So keep practicing, and as you detach your mind from worldly, it will center more in the self. It is normal. It will take a while, but as you practice, it will get better and better. And you don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to fight with your mind. Make the mind your friend. Okay, let us sit together for meditate. Oh, my mind, let us now together meditate because it's good for us. So like that. Yeah, but it's absolute. And plus today also there was a lot of doors banging and all. So when you practice alone at home, there won't be all these disturbances. Make sure you don't have the TV running, you know, all that things like turn off your phone. So yeah, but today there was more. It was not very conducive. On Thursday evening, we are the only group here, so it's very, very quiet. So if you want to see the energy of the group, that's a good time. Even if you come once or twice, you will notice a big benefit.
I think it's the best time before the whole day.
Yes, absolutely. The morning time is the best.
Okay.